Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
I'm excited to be here today with John Mickey. John is a distinguished, longtime, multi-generational member of our firm. We're going to talk not only about his career, but how culture has shaped the practice and the business that he's a part of, and how that's helped them as a team evolve and support their clients over multiple generations. So, John, welcome. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Tim, very much. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I know we're on Zoom and we're not live, but it's always good to see you and spend time with you. So I think as a great place to start, you have had a very distinguished career and have had a great positive impact on a number of people that you've worked with over the years. But let's go back to the beginning, and I'd love to have you share a little bit about how you got started in this career.
Well, Tim, after graduation from Chapel Hill in 1973 with a business degree, my father, he said to me, "Of John, of the four children, you have the personality to do well in the insurance business." And I think, as I've shared with you before, Tim, two thoughts went through my mind when he said that. One, I don't want to be in the insurance business. And two, I don't want to work for my dad. Long story short there is I love European history, world history. But he also said, if you want to come in business with me, you have to work somewhere else for someone else first for 2 years. And I didn't truly understand that until years later. So I ended up taking a backpack, and I was gone for 2 years traveling around the world. I worked with two family sort of operations, one on a thousand acre gardening estate in Scotland for a lord and lady. Became very close to them, living with them off and on for almost a year. I worked for 4 months on a 10,000 acre cattle and sheep property in Australia, and came back and joined Dad in 1976. I think part of the reasoning for joining Dad is in my travels, I realized all the times that he took out of his day to be with me and my brothers and my sister. And I realized he was his own boss. He got to choose when he wanted to be on vacation and not. And I loved traveling so much, I thought, okay, maybe this is a career that allow me to extend my travels further into my life. So that was the basis of how it started. So basically on a sort of a dollar a day backpacking adventure for 2 years, that got me started.
I got a taste of travel that I know has stayed with you since then. And you're right, this profession definitely affords us a great opportunity to see some wonderful places and meet some fantastic people. And I know your father in his own right was quite an accomplished human being and an exceptional man. Tell us a little bit about how his business was set up at the time you joined, and then we'll get into the formation of your current business with your new partners.
Well, as you alluded to earlier, I'm multi-generational, not just my father, but my grandfather started with Mass Mutual in 1930 after his in-laws' business with whom he worked went bankrupt because of the Depression. And when my father came back from World War II, he tried to work with his dad, but it didn't work out. And my dad joined Mass Mutual after my grandfather retired due to health reasons. He died before I was ever born. And at the beginning, again, for some reason, my father had the wisdom he knew how to separate being my father, which he was outside of the four walls of our office, but being my business partner in those four walls. And one of the things that he said, "John, you're working with me, you're not working for me." And that was a big distinction. I think a lot of, even my mother-in-law thought, you know, what's it like to work for your dad? I'd always say, I don't work for him, I work with him. But those two words have a huge difference, and it really impacted me.
Significant distinction.
Significant, you're right. And so, but from almost the get-go, Tim, and I entered an office, Dad was with four other folks at the time. I joined him from the almost the get-go. He said, John, we're going to split everything we do. Whatever you write, I get a part of. Whatever I write, you get a part of. Whoever writes it gets the lion's share. The other one gets a smaller amount. His vision then truly was to get my name on pieces of business. So at his death or retirement, I was the servicing agent. He was back in the 70s, he was already figuring out how to make sure his clients had the service going forward from me, versus just being turned over to some new agent, and which I'm sure you have to deal with quite a bit at the agency, Tim. When an agent doesn't make it or dies, okay, what to do with his book of business? So that wisdom of Dad way back then really set the tone for going forward for not only our partnership, but eventually the birth of Holden and Mickey. So,
yeah, I mean, the continuity, kind of the culture that your father created with you, the continuity of delivering on the promises made to the clients is a real testament to the foresight he had, not only to making sure the clients were served well, but that you had the continuity yourself in this wonderful profession beyond his time in it. And it really is a great testament to his vision at the time. Yeah. And now the Mickey family has been serving clients since 1930, as you mentioned, and over a period of time, evolved into Holden and Mickey. And that has become a part of the modern day legacy. I'd love to have you share a little bit about how you and Chip Holden and came together, and then ultimately how your business and team have grown as a result of coming together and continuing that legacy.
Chip, when I joined Dad in 1976, actually Chip joined the same office with us. But Chip has a different, as you know, entrepreneurial vision than maybe I do. And so a few years later, he joined another office. But the two of us remained close, and at agency meetings, industry meetings, we often talked about how we would like to have our own office and do it our way. So in 1989, a year after the birth of our daughter Hollis, things played out where there was sort of an office shuffle, and Dad and Chip and myself decided to join up. The three of us share, I'll say we're rooted in similar values, and all three of us definitely have a passion for this profession. And I think Chip he really liked the idea of that Dad set forth of the splitting business. And so the three of us continued that practice. So if I'm on vacation down at the beach and Dad or Chip writes a piece of business, I'm cheering for them. I'm going, go guys, that's great. And they're doing the same whenever I'm, maybe they're on vacation and I'm writing a piece of business. So I think that in a way, sort of a cliche, it helped some thoroughbreds to run faster because we wanted to honor each other by not letting the team down. And again, that it's something that we still, Chip and I, do to this day. We split everything we do. Again, lion's share to the person that brings the business in, and a smaller amount for the person that, or for the other one. And I think also, Tim, from a jealousy standpoint, it kept jealousy out of the office of someone doing better than another. I mean, I would have a good year. He would have a good year. Dad would have a good year. It didn't really seem to matter. It just, one of them had a better year than I did, then that just made me want to work harder the next year. So it really did, the synergy worked well. And it continues today. As I said, Chip, with his sons in the business, he's followed the same formula in regards to splitting business with them, to one, for a service standpoint, but also just to bring full that next generation into the to being already working with that client before someone retires or dies. So,
yeah, the idea that your father started, you guys continued, is, you know, really a mindset of abundance, which I think is sometimes missing in our profession, unfortunately. But I really applaud what you have done and what you are doing as it relates to sharing the abundance of everyone's success, which has really driven everyone to continue to be the best that they can be each and every year. There's a real sense of legacy in all of this. And you and I share the fact that we're both the third generation of our families in this profession. That was made us fast friends early on. And now my daughter is the fourth generation of our family. But, you know, for you, John, what does continuing this legacy mean to you?
I mean, it's quite important, Tim, and it's something that I'll say struggled with, because Susan and I have, as you know, we have a daughter, and she's an artist, so this business is not where she wants to come. But the footprint that Dad laid down decades ago, I want to step into for my clients also. So because of our team arrangement up here in Holden and Mickey, and Chip's two sons, Brian and David, I think I ought to know this specifically, but their combined years with us, probably 20 years plus between the two of them, if not more. But I'm already in conversations, and the three of us are working together on creating a continuation of service or a legacy, to where my clients don't, the day I retire or die, they just get a letter saying, oh, by the way, Brian Holden is now servicing your business, and they're wondering who that person is. I want to fold my clients into knowing Brian and David before that time comes, and have them having actual communication interaction with them long before I step away from this office. So.
Similar to what your father did with you. The title of our podcast is Winning Through Culture, and I know we're talking about culture, but you know, how would you say culture has defined or played a role in the evolution of Holden and Mickey?
Tim, when I joined my father, and I'll say MassMutual and the Greensboro agency then, but I'll say you and the Charlotte agency fold right in there tremendously well. I joined Rarefied Air. And by that, I mean, through the years, I've been introduced to the finest individuals in this state and their families, both as colleagues, such as yourself, or my friend Steve Bartley down on the coast, or people in Greensboro or Charlotte, wherever it may be. But when we gather to honor the highest achiever of the year in the sort of the annual get together in January or February, but we also gather to honor each other and what we all do in this profession. And I think that, to me, is, at least to me, it seems rare. And that we're even though someone had a better year than I did, I'm there honoring them, but they're also honoring me for being a part of the agency and this profession of what we do, because I think what we do is pretty remarkable in this world.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It's a great profession in order to help people make good financial decisions and lay out a long-lasting financial legacy for themselves and the rest of their family. What are some of the core values that you would say drive the success of your business today, John?
I think a lot of them, Tim, or they've come, we've all had guides through our lives. There's, you're where you are, I'm where I am, because we've had people come before us, be it our fathers, our mothers, or other associates and that kind of stuff, that have had a hand in our successes and help keep us on track too. And I'll throw out a couple of names here. One of them was John Bramer, who I think you knew. And one of the key things he said to me early on, actually two things. One was, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And I really took that to heart early on, because in conversations with clients, I spent more time just talking with them, asking about, you know, what's your, if you could be at the beach for a week by yourself, what books would you take with you, or something of that nature. But then they would ask me the same. So it's not just a one-way street. Be vulnerable to them, quite frankly, share some of my story and about my family. A lot of my clients ask, you know, John, how's Hollis? How is Susan? Because through the years, I've shared with them that. Actually, one of the other things that John Bramer said was, okay, liars can figure and figures can lie. And I've shared that with a lot of clients, saying, okay, we're going to go through this. And some of these numbers may jump out at you sort of funny, but no, this is all the truth here. But it's just sort of just to set the tone there. Also, I mean, I'll say back to my father. He said, again, two things there. It can take a lifetime to build a reputation, but it only takes moments to lose that reputation, as we see, especially in our culture today with the internet and social media, et cetera, and the media. Also, I think one of the things that he instilled with me and has proven core to me is, no one case will make my career and no one case will break my career. So if you lose a case, keep on going. There's going to be another one around the corner. Also, I think one of the core values to be successful, I feel, in this profession, is you have to have an entrepreneurial spirit, because we do work for ourselves. We're affiliated luckily with you and the Charlotte agency and Mass Mutual, but in all honesty, our clients are coming to John Mickey or right. to Tim Flanagan, yep, to get our advice on what to do, how to protect their families, and what strategies for investments and retirements and things like that. So I think those core values are important. The other part, I'll throw this out, and you know this all too well, especially with Chip and myself, here at Holden and Mickey, one of the core values has been for Chip to come up with ideas And if I can't shoot them down, then maybe we need to think about and talk about them and maybe implement them. As you know, Chip and our yin and yang, red states, blue states, however you want to throw that out there. And we've had some heated discussions sometimes and different points of view. But I know he's got my back. If something went down, I picked up the phone at 3 a.m., he'd be at my doorstep. And he knows the very same thing. And, you know, and somehow I guess we saw that in each other 40 years ago when we first met, that kind of thing. And it's so that trust, and that's the core value, I think, that's behind both what we do here at Holden & Mickey, what our clients from a profession, they look to us. It's all about trust and faith that we'll be there for them.
Yeah, I heard a lot of things, trust, family, integrity, persistence, and some innovation, as well as, quite frankly, and I think you bring up a really good point, of being able to have very divergent points of view sometimes and remain unified.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and Chip share different points of view on certain things in life.
We do.
And yet, you maintain a decorum of great respect with one another, which allows you to stay unified in serving your common mission of serving your clients and doing it with excellence. So that is an exceptional role model in today's society, John. Too many people do not follow and can certainly learn from. And that's another thing I've always admired about you is your ability to state your position on things very clearly with conviction and with great reverence and respect. And at the same time, always seeking to understand the other person. So,
thank you, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And the culture, I think, of Holden & Mickey is really reflective of that every day. So, you know, you guys have been together now for quite some time. How have things adapted, evolved over the last, certainly one could say this year alone, but certainly the last few years to help you stay relevant in supporting your clients?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, Chip and I are both in our late 60s, but we look forward to working for a number of years to come. But it's also being open and listening to the younger generation in our office. As you know, there are four other advisors up here with us, all younger than we are. And the other part of it is respecting where each other's strengths are and our weaknesses lie. I'm good at protection, and the investment world is not my strength. And so I walk clients down to David Holden or something like that for really big, complicated corporate cases to Chip. Jerry Malmo's a strength in disability insurance. Brian Holden's becoming good at working with millennials and planning. Stephen Davis in annuities. So I think being open to being a team has helped us move forward, but also listening to that younger generation about how to evolve and where to go, but also not losing track of we want to Holden & Mickey to be in business 10 and 20 years from now servicing our clients. This is not just to get to the end of my payday. And then I don't care what happens. And none of us up here feel that same way. So I think it's the long-term, what is best for our clients long-term is what we're trying to do. Now, in this digital age, that can come a little tough for some of us older dogs to figure out and adapt with. But we get there eventually.
And here we are on Zoom.
And here we are on Zoom.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys really have assembled an outstanding team that not only is serving your clients well now, but to your point, you know, giving you the opportunity to continue the legacy and to continue that on. And, you know, you said something that was interesting that I thought maybe we could just touch on for a moment. And that is, you know, you and Chip are in your late 60s and you still enjoy coming in to work every day. And, you know, so many people work in a job or a profession or a career that their finish line is get out as soon as I can and quote unquote retire. And yet you, as many of our associates, work long beyond what would be considered a normal retirement age in today's society, not because you have to, but because you want to. So what is it that drives you to continue to be enthusiastic about showing up every day?
I'll say my clients, quite frankly, and our office environment, but it's the clients, it's the relationships that have been built over time, the trust that they have in me, and also the as long as I still feel relevant to them, I want to keep coming in. The day, I'm not sure who's going to tell me I'm no longer relevant.
Probably not all your clients on the same day.
I know, exactly. But part of it there is a quick story. Brian and I were talking last week, and he was talking about sort of some different clients realizing at the same time Brian was their advisor. And it took me back to probably three decades or more ago to a Christmas party. And I was just, you know, Susan and I arrived, and she's talking with some of the other spouses, and I'm talking with some guys, and for some reason, one of the people just said, you know, who all, and there were probably five of us there together, who all's a client of John's? And all of them raised their hands. And I just went, you know, so one, I was slightly embarrassed. But secondly, I was, wow, you know, that they would, one, profess it. And secondly, that those people were my friends first. And that was actually one other John Bramer-ism, is that he said, when you think of insurance, no, when you think of me, I don't want you to think of insurance. But when you think of insurance, I want you to think of me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, in today's world, that'd be more of you know, financial planning, financial security. I want you to think of me. And it's those phone calls from clients that I don't expect saying, John, this has just happened. What do you think I should do? And also, Tim, the times I've been taking a client to lunch and he's told me he's just lost his job before he's told his wife he just found out that day or something like that. So I think it's that trust and that friendship through the years that keeps us all coming back, because that's being able to be of value to our clients is important.
Yeah, you nailed it, I think, with that, John. And, you know, you talked about entrepreneurship earlier, and most people don't fully appreciate the definition of entrepreneurship, which is taking either a relationship or, you know, a resource from a lower to higher level of value. And right. I think that the true impact of your work is the value you've created in those relationships by providing people not only advice, but counsel and friendship. You know, as you said, maybe sometimes being the first person they tell some pretty big news to, and even asking for advice on how to handle it with a spouse or someone else. So that's significant value in people's lives. And, you know, it's interesting that the product behind that is life insurance. And at the same time, though, it's really that relationship and the counsel and advice you give someone that they're really seeking. The life insurance is obviously an important part of their financial picture and will be able to provide the funds for them to continue to provide the things to those that they love that they want to provide. Mm-hmm. It's really unlocking what's inside of those clients. You know, who do they love? Why do they love them? And what do they envision for the future in the event that they're not there?
Yep. And Yeah, Tim, exactly. I think we're doubly blessed in this profession, or at least I am. One, I'm in a profession that I love. And two, I'm blessed to be in a profession that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And not everyone can say that about both ends of that blessing, the dual blessing about, and so I'm very fortunate that I've, but gosh, now come 44 years ago, I decided to say yes to joining my father in the business. So I've been very blessed through the years and the relationships that I've formed and the friends, more importantly, the friends that have developed from that. So.
A true double blessing, loving what you do and loving those that you do it with.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well, John, I really appreciate the time today. I always enjoy being with you. And again, I think so much of our life, you said something earlier about what I would kind of describe as standing on the shoulders of giants. And you have not only done that well with the opportunity that your father presented to you, but you have in your own right really built a business that is impacting so many lives in such meaningful ways and is going to be able to continue doing that for generations to come. So thank you for who you are and what you do and being with me today.
Tim, I've enjoyed it very much. I always enjoy our conversations. And thanks for taking me down memory lane a little bit.
Ah, I love doing that with you.
Okay.
Well, it's been a great time today on our podcast, Winning Through Culture, getting and some insights into John, Mickey, and his not only his past, but his practice and his future and the values that drive him and the culture of his firm and who he is. So thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to being with you again soon.
Great. Thank you, Tim.
I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.